of what the Lord is doing, and I'll be sharing that next Sunday. But this Sunday, let me ask you, number one, have you finished your Christmas shopping? Because it's that time of year again. Joan and I were at the mall yesterday, and there was one or two other people with us there in the mall. Have you even started your Christmas shopping yet? Maybe not. But it is that time of year again, is it not? It is Christmas. We are racing up to that time of year when you're hunting down the perfect gift for your spouse or for your office colleague or for Aunt Edna. You are hunting down that perfect special gift. I want to share something about gifts with you during this little series. But by way of introduction, we asked some of the Lamb's Chapel children what was their favorite Christmas gift and what they particularly loved about receiving a Christmas gift. So here they are. Coming together. The whole family coming together and sharing love. I love that. Christmas gifts, it's an interesting thing, because did you know that Christmas gift giving was actually pagan in its origin? Prior to the Christian celebration of Christmas, pagans used to, in their midwinter solstice, exchange gifts. Then the early church obviously took that over as they Christianized the event, but it then went out of favor, and it wasn't until Queen Victoria in England reinstituted the idea of gift giving that it came back into favor. And then, of course, capitalism took over, and it's now a big deal. Gift giving at Christmas time. But at Christmas time, pastorally, it can be a challenging time for pastors and for people in churches. Two reasons why Christmas can be a challenging time. Number one is it's not an easy season for everyone. And I think we need to recognize that. As much as we delight in it and we're thrilled with it and we take part in the Christmas season, for some it can be difficult. There are past hurts or broken relationships or grief and loss that has taken place in the previous year or times gone by. And that can make it difficult for some. So, beloved, we always need to be pastorally sensitive during the Christmas period, because while we celebrate, others may struggle. But secondly, it can be a difficult time because it comes round once a year. And familiarity breeds contempt. We get kind of used to it. It's just another Christmas. And the older I get, the faster it seems to come round. I don't know about you, but that's how it is. But there's a danger there. We can become too familiar with this celebration. And I'd hate for that to happen. We need to remember that this is a marvelous, fantastic celebration of the greatest moment in history. Let's not belittle it. Just because we do it once a year, let's not belittle it. That's the benefit of Advent, and today is the first Sunday of Advent, a traditional time that the church has used to prepare itself for this Christmas season. It has set aside these weeks leading up as a time of preparedness and a time of expectation, so that we don't become too familiar with it. Handel Brown said this. He said, "To prepare our hearts for Christmas, we must cultivate the spirit of expectancy." That's my desire for you at Lamb's Chapel this Advent season, that you will be expectant. Expectant for God to do something new, unique, and different in your heart this Christmas season. Something new and different. Something fresh. That it's not just another Christmas. It's not just Christmas 2017. But that this Christmas Advent season will be unique and special. And God will do something in your heart. So to that end, let's stand together, because we're going to pray for that. Lord, we open up our hearts. We want to be touched afresh by you, Lord Jesus. We say, come, Holy Spirit. Let's not let familiarity breed contempt. This was the greatest moment in human history. So may the spirit of that again touch our hearts, touch our spirits, touch our emotions, touch our mind, that freshness will come to us again, that you will do something new and fresh in us. Prepare our hearts. May we be expectant people. Stir us, O God. Stir us this Advent season. Let us not let it be familiar, but do something new to the glory and to the honor of your name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Christmas is a powerful time, no more than 100 years ago. 100 years ago, of course, Europe was in the midst of World War I, one of the most horrendous wars in human history. But it was a time when Christmas had a powerful effect as well. It all started with the singing of a Christmas carol that led to a truce, that led to English and German soldiers exchanging gifts, and a pause was caused in the horror of that war. Here's another video I'd like to share with you. It was produced last year by a UK grocery store, again reminding us of the power of Christmas. Christmas, it can be a powerful season. It was then 100-odd years ago. Let's pray that it is too in 2017. I don't just want us to observe this season. I would love for us to experience something this season. I've entitled this little sermon series that I will start this morning, go on to do part two on Wednesday, and then conclude next Sunday morning. I've called it Christmas Unwrapped. Christmas Unwrapped. Part one I've entitled The Greatest Gift. The Greatest Gift. You see, Christmas gifts, well, they're not the only thing that come in a box. Sometimes, too, our expectations come in a box. We limit our expectations of who we are, and even sometimes of who God is. We place them in a box. We limit ourselves and we limit Him. But if the Christmas story tells us anything, it tells us that God is outside the box. God cannot be limited. God is enormous, unlimited, and an awesome God who delights in being outside of our expectations and our convention. Ordinary God is not. He is unlimited and He is often unexpected. And the Christmas story cements that. It is an awesome story. Now I know that word awesome is often overused, but it truly is awesome. It is remarkable. God was so outside of the box that it caught the world by surprise. God delights in taking the ordinary and making it extraordinary. He delights in taking the usual and making it the unusual. He delights in taking the common, making it the uncommon. He delights in making the credible and making it incredible. He delights in taking the standing and making it outstanding. And He delights in taking the expected and making it unexpected. Consider three aspects of the Christmas story this morning. And again, don't let familiarity breed contempt. We're familiar with the story. We know it. We've been through it since we were young. But it is an awesome, out-of-the-box kind of story. So let's consider, number one, the miracle. The miracle of this story. Just imagine how it must have been in heaven. I mean, using your sanctified imagination for a moment, just imagine the scene in heaven. Rumor has been moving around that God is going to send His Son to earth. And maybe let's imagine for a moment the angels are debating how this might take place. And one is saying, oh, He's going to send His Son as a mighty king. He's going to ride down to heaven on a huge white horse. He's going to establish a new world order. It's going to be amazing. The world will see. It's going to be absolutely incredible. Trumpets are going to blast. The white charger's going to come down. Wow, it's going to be a moment. And then maybe another angel says, maybe not. Maybe He's going to send Him as a prophet. Some great prophet. You know, even greater than Elijah or Elisha. He's going to be a great prophet who'll speak the word of God and bring God's kingdom to earth. Another angel might have said, no. Maybe He won't do that. Maybe He'll send Him as a great politician, as a great leader. Maybe He'll lead the people by a tremendous example, and it's going to be just a leadership issue. But to all their surprises, God does none of that. What does He do? He sends Him as a baby. A baby. How out of the box is that? A baby. A placenta nourished Him. An amniotic sac surrounded Him. He grew to the size of a fist, and then His heart divided into two chambers. Arms and legs and fingers and toes. Eyes, hair, develop and grow. God, a baby. A baby, the very picture of dependence. Dependent on its mother's womb for protection for 9 months. Dependent on the mother's pain and suffering as the baby is born and pushed. Dependent on her love and care afterwards. Another helpless baby born on the ever-expanding population of a little blue planet called Earth. And what a place for this baby to be born. The stench of animal dung and urine fills the air. No great palace for this baby, but a stable, a stinking, stable becomes the delivery room for the God of creation. How out of the box is that? The very one who spoke the word and the cave itself came into existence now takes his first breath from within its walls. And the very first cry of God on earth is the sound of a newborn baby taking its first breath and crying for its first feed. And that echoes around the walls of the one who created the cave in the first place. Is it any wonder C.S. Lewis penned this? Once in our world, a stable had something in it that was bigger than the whole world. Remarkable. A miracle. Matthew added this, of course, quoting the Old Testament. He says, look, notice the exclamation mark. He's beside himself. Look! The virgin has conceived a child, exclamation mark. If you see an exclamation mark in the English translation of the Bible, it's there for a very solid reason. It's saying, this is amazing. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Emmanuel, what a miracle. A powerful Hebrew word that is all at once beautiful and powerful. God with us. Not God above us. Not God somewhere in the neighborhood. He came to be God with us. With us. Not God with the rich. Not God with the religious. Not even God with the missionary. Not even God with the pastor. God with us. This is a magnificent, awesome miracle. Let not familiarity breed contempt, dear one. Because prophets weren't enough, apostles wouldn't do, angels wouldn't suffice. God sent more than messengers or miracles. He sent himself. Himself. The author entered his own story and became Emmanuel, God with us. Completely human, yet also completely divine. I love the way Max Lucado, who writes much on this subject because it's one of his favorite, he has a Christmas poem, and this is it. Heaven's seed entombed in Mary. Minuscule, yet mighty. God descends a birth canal, born. Creator, cradled in a Bethlehem barn. Infant, yet infinite. Asleep, yet a king. God gurgles in a mama's arms. Baby. Baby. Oh, this is out of the box, all right. That's not the way the world was expecting. That's not the way you and I would have planned it either, if we're honest. We'd have perhaps thought the great white charger, the mighty prophet, the great leader, or even a king. But no, God, who's out of the box, miraculously sends a baby. But why? Why would God, the great El Shaddai, the great I Am, the Lord of the heaven's army, do such a thing? Do such a thing so out of the box? Well, the answer is found in one simple little Bible verse. And it reminds us of the mandate. See, that was the miracle. The baby was the miracle, out of the box. Miracle. Awesome. But there was a mandate that this baby had. And that mandate is found in Matthew 1:21. She will have a son. And you are to call him Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. That's the mandate right there. That's the mandate. Jesus. Such an ordinary name. The Greek form of Joshua, from the Hebrew Yeshua. A name so common that in any class role of that day and generation, it would have probably appeared 3 or 4 times. Such a common name, yet its meaning reveals everything. Jesus. Jehovah is salvation, Yahweh saves. You are to call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's the mandate. See, if our greatest need had been information, Well, the God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent an economist. But since our greatest need was forgiveness, God sent a savior. God coming to earth in human form was our only hope. A baby named Jesus, whose tiny hands would touch no satin, own no gold, grasp no pen, or guide no brush. Hands that would hold a few fish and a few barley loaves and multiply them to feed thousands. Hands that would receive a Roman nail and be adhered to a Roman cross. Jehovah is salvation. Yahweh saves. A baby whose feet will one day walk on the storm-tossed water of a lake. Feet that will stagger up Golgotha's hill. Feet that would rise up through the clouds with the promise that those feet will come back again through the clouds. Descend back to earth with a mighty trumpet this time. Jehovah is salvation. Yahweh saves. A baby whose eyes will soon open to see up close the mess, the stinking, rotten mess that the creation has made. His creation has made. A creation that needs saving. Saving from sin and selfishness. Saving from pride and from prejudice. Saving from rebellion and from riotousness. Saving from hedonism and hell. Jehovah is salvation. Yahweh saves. Can somebody say amen? Amen. A baby born so that we, you and I, could be restored in our relationship to our perfect Creator. C.S. Lewis again. The Son of God became a man, that men might become the sons of God. Great news. Oh, yes. Out of the box. But great news for the whole world. For you and for me. Because of Bethlehem, the world has hope. But listen. Listen carefully. This awesome truth, this very good news, does require a response. It's not just good news that we can go, yeah, great, that's fantastic, and move on. No, this great news requires a response on a personal level. See, all of mankind is invited to make a response to this Savior, to say yes to Him, to turn away from the pride and the prejudice, from the rebellion and the riotousness, from the sin and from the selfishness, and turn to this Savior and accept this saving grace, this only hope. The world at the moment, note that, at the moment is invited. But a time will come, as we learn next week, that invitation will change. When that second event comes, when He descends down through the cloud, then the invitation will have expired, and it is a command. The absolute advent that we will consider next week. So therefore, at the moment, it is an invitation. So let's not miss the moment. We have had a miracle. We have seen it, witnessed it, heard the story. There is a mandate to that miracle. But there is also a moment that we mark. And it is that moment that we call the first Christmas. That moment in time that changed all time and all eternity. That was the moment. See, we celebrate it once a year, and we celebrate it year on year. But like I said, that has a danger, dear one, and let us not fall into that dangerous pit of it becoming too familiar, belittling it. Oh, that we do not let that happen. That we don't let the moment pass us by. We celebrate that moment again here in 2017. Let's not let that moment pass. Let's not let it be just another Christmas. See, there's a very interesting part of the Christmas story that often gets overlooked because there's only just a few words about it in the Christmas story. I don't know whether you've given much thought to the innkeeper. He doesn't even get a name in the scripture. We have no idea of his name or a title. He's just called the innkeeper in the Christmas story. In the scripture, he doesn't actually get a full mention. We just know that the inn has no room. But there would have been an innkeeper who would have had to have said no to Mary and Joseph. I pondered about that innkeeper. He missed the moment big time. I mean, he really missed it. His establishment could have been the delivery room of God on earth. And yet he refused and he sent them out to some back room stable. One of his rooms could have been the delivery room of God. Oh, what an opportunity he missed. And many still do. There are innkeepers today that miss this moment, miss the opportunity to invite the King of Kings, not into their homes, but into their hearts. They miss the opportunity of experiencing God, not in a moment of history, but in the midst of their lives, here and now. The invitation, well, it was prepared in Bethlehem, but it is also written in Revelation 3:20. Look at these words. Jesus speaking now, not as a baby, now as the full King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He says, look, here I stand at the door and knock. If you hear me calling, open the door and I will come in. It's as if he's saying, the innkeeper blew it. He didn't open the door to me when I was first born, right there on earth as I came to earth. But dear one, he's saying, don't be an innkeeper now. Don't miss this moment. Open your heart, open the door, let me into the midst of your life. I'm not just a historical figure, I'm alive and well and moving and active now in the world, and I want to be in your life, now, in the midst of what you're in the midst of. Don't place me with expectations of just a little china doll in a manger scene, but I'm the living God. I'm active and moving, and I want to be part of your life. Don't put me in a box. Let me be out of the box. Don't put your life in a box. I want you to live your life outside the box. Unlimited expectations, unlimited potential, unlimited resource. A love that knows no end, as we sung this morning. That's the moment that we must not let pass. He makes this invitation because of that love. Max Lucado again. If God is willing to wrap himself in rags and drink from a mother's breast, then all the questions about his love for you are off the table. You might question his actions, his decisions or declarations, but you can never, ever question his zany, stunning, unquenchable affection. See, that love, that's out of the box, all right. Overwhelming, enormous, as the song says, fierce. Fierce love, given to us in a wonderful invitation that says, come to me, receive me, open the door and let me come in to your life. If this Advent season is a reminder of anything, dear one, it's a reminder of the importance of not missing the moment. Now I know that for the vast majority of us here, we have accepted that invitation. We have marked that moment by inviting him into our lives. But maybe you haven't. At the end of the service, when I pray, I'm going to give you an opportunity to invite him into your life. To make him the Lord of your life. What a moment to do that. Advent 2017, for you to be able to say, that was the year. That was the moment I made him Lord of my life. I accepted that invitation. I didn't miss the moment like the innkeeper, but I invited him into my life. I reveled in that love. I received a Savior. Yahweh, Jehovah is salvation. It is, though, an invitation right now. Because he will return again, dear one. I'm going to dwell a little more on this next Sunday morning. But there is a second advent coming. It is an absolute advent. It will wrap up this whole show. Once and for all, it will be entirely wrapped up. Because he comes then not as a baby, but he comes as Lord of all. And at that point, as Paul says in his letter to the church in Rome, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. The invitation at that point becomes a command. But for right now, my heart, my prayer, is that we don't let this Advent become too familiar, this Christmas season to become something that we just put on the shelf. Put up a few decorations, run around the mall, buy a few gifts, and then move on into the new year without saying, God, do something special in me this year. Do something new. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. God with us now, December the 3rd, 2017. God with us in this sanctuary here at Lamb Chapel Christian Center. Not God somewhere out in the neighborhood. Not God above us floating around somewhere. But God with us here now. As real as the person sitting next to you. God with us. His love. Fierce, immense, and enormous. I mentioned at the beginning, and at this time I'd like the worship team to come back up and prepare to close us in a song, please. But I mentioned that Christmas can be difficult for some. If that's you here this morning, I want to be sensitive to that. God keeps his promises. Dear one, understand, God keeps his promises. You see, he was there in the manger, but he's no longer. He was there on the cross, but he is no longer. He was in the tomb, but he is no longer. He is risen. He is alive. And he is with us. Let's not miss out on the awesomeness of that. Let's not miss out this Christmas of the miracle of the mandate, of the moment. At the beginning, we prayed a prayer, asking the Lord to do something unique and special in our hearts this Christmas season. I want us, though, now to do something symbolic. We're going to close with singing, O come, Emmanuel. A beautiful reflective song of the awesomeness, the out-of-the-boxness, if you will, of this moment. And if that is your real heart's prayer, if that's your cry, you're saying, Lord, I really want this Christmas to be something different, something special, something unique. I don't want familiarity to breed contempt. I want you to do something in me. Afresh. I want to prepare my heart expectantly for that thing to take place. Symbolically, I'm going to give you an opportunity to mark that and to seal that. As we're singing this song, if that's your heart, if that's your intent, and you're saying, God, I'm preparing my heart for something special this Advent Christmas season. As we're singing the song, I want you to come up and I want you to grab some hay, straw, and place it in the manger. Symbolically, what you're saying here, look, is I'm preparing something, Lord. I'm preparing by placing this straw in this manger as if I'm preparing again for your first coming, but I'm actually preparing my heart for your coming into me. You're doing something new, something fresh in me. And symbolically, we're going to act that desire out. We're going to place that in that manger, in that crib. And we're going to say, Lord, do something new, something fresh, something unique, something out of the box in my heart this Christmas season. So let's pray. And then the team will lead us in singing that beautiful song. Let's stand together. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed, please. I said earlier that I would offer an invitation. It's not my invitation, actually. It's Jesus's. He says about standing at our heart's door and knocking. If that's you, if you've never invited the Lord to be the Lord of your life, personally accepted this moment as a moment for you and allowing salvation and the love of God to enter and to flow, then I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. All you need to do is pray a little prayer. And it allows the God of salvation, Yeshua, into your life. It's an act of your will to open that door. So if that's you, or maybe you've made the decision years ago, but you know you haven't been living your life the right way, and you want to use this Advent 2017 to recommit yourself to Him. Will you please pray this prayer with me? In fact, let's say it all out loud together. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for your immense love. Your love for me. Your saving grace. I ask for your forgiveness. For all my pride. All my sin. All my rebellion. Forgive me for living a life without you. But I revel in your love. I revel in your forgiveness. Come into my life now. Help me live a life after you. Follow your ways. Do your will. To the glory of your name. Amen and amen. Now with every eye closed and every head still bowed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if you prayed that prayer to recommit yourself to Jesus, would you just please slip up your hand for a moment? Just the number I'm seeing through the sanctuary. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, I thank you for those that stepped into the kingdom of light this morning. Receiving you and not missing the opportunity as the innkeeper did, but you are now in their lives. Have your will and do your perfect way, Lord, we pray. And I pray for the rest of us, Lord, that symbolically as we take this straw and place it into this manger and sing this song, that you'll begin to prepare our hearts for doing something way out of the box this Christmas season. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Buddy.
Bye.